discussion as well. But for now, we head back to the hotline because we're going to talk some college football with Sean Dunnigan of WBNS 10 TV down in Columbus. Dunny, how are things down in our state capital today, my friend?
Very, very busy. How are things up there in Cleveland?
More of the same, my friend, and I guess it's much, much better than the alternative, no question about that. Well, we've got a couple of games to discuss with you. You know, one that went down on Saturday and another one that will go down this coming Saturday. Let's begin with Ohio State's victory over Penn State on Saturday afternoon. They withstood a nice little third quarter charge from the Nittany Lions. Dunny, what were your three major takeaways from the win over Penn State?
One, they got hanging on to the football a lot better. That's the biggest thing I took away. They got hit hard probably for the first time in a while because they really weren't hard against Maryland or against Rutgers, probably since Wisconsin. They need to hold on to the ball. My second takeaway is they handled adversity very well for the first time this year. They had a little bit of adversity against Wisconsin, but they blew that off like it was nothing. They faced adversity. They fumbled the ball at their 11. They fumbled the ball at their 34. They gave up 10 points, and then they drove down the field and were able to get a touchdown that clinched the game to win 28-17. They handled adversity for the first time, which is good to see. My third takeaway is the play calling of Ryan Day. It seemed like for the first time this year, he got a little bit conservative, calling 61 running plays. That's a lot of runs, the highest that has been in Ohio State in a long, long time. So that was very interesting to put on tape for Michigan to look at for the game against Penn State.
And if you look at what that sometimes can do to a quarterback, sometimes when he doesn't throw very often, he can lose his rhythm. But in this case, it didn't affect Justin Fields at all. I mean, boy, he has been remarkably efficient throughout the course of the year. And I feel like every time, you know, a game comes up where he passes another test, somebody out there saying, yeah, but you know what, he didn't play a great team. Well, Penn State's a pretty darn good team. At least at the time of that game, they were a top 10 team with only one loss, and that was against Minnesota. So he passes yet another test. And again, he didn't have to throw the ball a ton, but Dunny, when he did have to throw, he made some really big throws down the stretch.
Absolutely. His receivers made some big-time catches as well, because they had at certain times in that game, they had a case of the drops as well. But Justin Fields played very, very well. He got injured there late in the fourth quarter. Everything seems to be okay with him. He was on the field late to take the knee downs. So everything seems to be okay. After the game, Ryan Day said he was good to go. So did some of the receivers, like K.J. Hill, kind of jokingly saying, I was just doing that for attention. So, but, you know, Justin proved that he can handle adversity. It's another type of adversity handled on the road at your rival when they play at Michigan on a Saturday.
You think this is a building step here for the Buckeyes? I mean, that was the closest game they've played. Justin Fields was in the game longer than he needed to, especially with the postseason possibly coming up at a Big Ten championship and the big game, obviously, on Saturday. Do you think this was a game they kind of needed moving forward?
Oh, I have no doubt about it. You know, Ryan Day said after the game, said to the coaches after the game that he thinks that sometimes they had it too easy with their schedule. Now they face adversity. Now they face the test. Now they know what it's like to be hit back in the mouth. Now they know they can take a punch and punch right back. So I think when you look at all that, is a very good thing that Ohio State played a four-quarter game with everybody playing four quarters.
Sean Dunnigan, WBNS 10 TV down in Columbus, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, you mentioned that Michigan game. We're going to come back around to that here in just a moment. But, boy, defensively, Ohio State has way more than just Chase Young. He, of course, always comes to the forefront. But, you know, Dunny, outside of that third quarter, that defense was absolutely terrific on Saturday. Take Chase Young out of the equation because that's the easy answer to this next question. Outside of Chase Young, who else really has gone above and beyond in your mind?
Chase Young? Jeff Okuda. Jeffrey Okuda, who was just named a finalist for the Thorpe Award, going to the best defensive back in college football. He has definitely stepped up his game from his freshman year till now. I would not expect him to be back after this season. He has played great. Damon Arnett, the other corner, has played great. And Sean Wade, he was really playing nickelback. He has really done a great job of improving from last year. He will be the number one corner, I believe, next year. He is outstanding, and I think he would be a second-round pick in the NFL draft if he were to come out, which I don't think he will. I hope he doesn't for Ohio State's sake.
Well, you mentioned the running game. And that they really stuck to the run quite a bit on Saturday against Penn State. Now, I mean, the running game's had quite a bit of success this year as well, and I think there are certainly a lot of reasons for that. Can you name some of those reasons? Why exactly, in your mind, has the running game been so successful?
Because you have a running back like J.K. Dobbins. You know, J.K. Dobbins, who in the last half hour was named a finalist for the Doak Walker Award for the nation's best running back. That's unbelievable in itself. But when you have a running back like J.K. Dobbins, who's a workhorse, who will put the team on his back and run right through people, there were times in Saturday's game when he had a chance to kind of go around a person, maybe get an extra yard. He chose to bull right through somebody and try to get four more extra yards. That's the case with that's what you get with J.K. Dobbins. He put the ball on the ground, yes. It was a spin move that he got hit at the right point and the right time by a very good player. After that, he ran like his life depended on it, like the game depended on it, because it did. And the offensive line played a very, very good game against a very, very good front seven in Penn State.
Sean, outside of Columbus, for whatever reason, Dobbins' name isn't mentioned nearly as much. Now, I think it's being brought up a lot more here as the season goes on, but with him being in the record books, passing the likes of Eddie George, approaching numbers by other Ohio running backs, other greats, why do you think everyone's been so quiet on him? And obviously, he's a huge weapon for the Buckeyes moving forward here.
Absolutely. It reminds me of like 2014, 2015, when Ohio State had Michael Thomas at wide receiver. Yeah, Michael Thomas at wide receiver, but he wasn't really talked about because you had so many people overshadowing him. This, to me, is kind of like this year with J.K. Dobbins, because you have Justin Fields, you have Jeffrey Okuda, you have Chase Young, where he kind of gets a back seat to everything, and he's thriving in it, because by the time you look at taking away all these other guys, oh, wait, we still have to deal with J.K. Dobbins.
Well, Dunny, we keep talking about this Michigan game coming up on Saturday. High noon is the time of the kickoff at 10:30. Pregame coverage begins. We will have it for you here on AM 930 WEOL at 100.3 FM. What kinds of matchups are you watching for? Are there any individual matchups that stand out to you on paper?
It's the game. It's the greatest rivalry in all of sports. To me, every matchup is a key matchup, whether it be Justin Fields against the Michigan secondary, whether it be Shea Patterson against the Ohio State defense. Shea Patterson is playing with confidence. And when you have a quarterback that is playing with confidence, when he has talent around him like Donovan Peoples-Jones and Nico Collins, that is a dangerous quarterback. This is a dangerous team. This reminds me a lot of the 1969 Ohio State-Michigan game. When Ohio State went up there, the number one team in the country, Michigan had already two or three losses. They had won four straight. They gained confidence. And they ended up beating Ohio State up in Ann Arbor. This game, do not take Michigan for granted. This will be a very, very tough game. Everything is a key matchup for me in this one.
So could you pinpoint any units specifically that you think will be under the most amount of pressure? I think Justin Fields first and foremost, just because, look, you mentioned the quarterback against the secondary. That's always a key matchup, especially in a game like this. And you look at Michigan picking up some steam recently as well. Are there any other units that you think for Ohio State will be under a great deal of pressure on Saturday?
Justin Fields, definitely. The offensive and defensive lines, just because this game is going to be won in the trenches, I think. Can they open holes for J.K. Dobbins to run through on offense? Can they stop Shea Patterson? Can they put pressure on Shea Patterson, the Buckeye defense? Can Chase Young have another game like he did, having three sacks, four tackles for loss, two forced fumbles, nine total tackles? Can Pete Warner continue the game he had? He was tied up with Pete Freiermuth the entire game. He gave up six catches, but Freiermuth only gained 40 total yards. Pete Warner played a great game in coverage. He played a great game everywhere else. Can the Buckeye defense hold it together and play like that again against a higher caliber opponent in Michigan?
We're 5 days away, so we're not going to hold you to this. But
I appreciate
what's your early, what's your early indication for Saturday? If we're asking you 5 days out here, what's your prediction, even though there are a lot of variables between now and Saturday?
A lot of variables to go over, a lot of stuff to go over. The initial number that popped into my head, Ohio State 38, Michigan 17.
Wow, calling for a 21-point victory. Okay. It'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out on Saturday because it's a huge one for both institutions, as it always is. Dunny, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. Have a great holiday, my friend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Talk to you guys next week. Have a good one. Happy Thanksgiving.